and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Heather Bosch. In custody, a man accused of planning destruction at a U.S. embassy. CBS's Linda Gradstein reports.
Joseph Neumeier, a dual U.S.-German citizen, arrived in Israel in April. The Department of Justice said that last week he went to the branch of the U.S. embassy in Tel Aviv carrying a backpack. He approached a guard and spat on him. When the guard attempted to detain Neumeier, he fled the scene but left his backpack containing several Molotov cocktails.
He was caught, extradited to the U.S., and FBI agents cuffed him as he arrived at Kennedy Airport today in Gaza. That is not heard enough. Trucks carrying food and other relief. The head of the UN World Food Program, Cindy McCain, tells CBS's Face the Nation.
Right now, we have 500,000 people inside of Gaza that are extremely food insecure and could be on the verge of famine if we don't help bring them back from that.
Despite a prisoner of war swap, there's little hope of a ceasefire in Ukraine, where Russian drones and airstrikes pounded Kyiv overnight. The BBC's James Waterhouse.
Explosions could be felt in this central part of the city. You could see drones being intercepted in the skies. You could hear 50 caliber machine guns shooting upwards to try and take out some of the dozens of Russian drones that were aimed at this city. But more broadly, the Air Force is saying more than 360 drones and missiles were launched last night. That is the single biggest number yet.
To the U.S. budget, a handful of Senate Republicans are already threatening to vote no if there aren't changes to the bill that just narrowly passed the House. CBS's Linda Kenyon explains.
The sweeping bill containing President Trump's domestic policy agenda passed in the House by just one vote. That's why Speaker Johnson on CNN said the Republican-led Senate shouldn't mess with it.
I have a very delicate balance here, a very delicate equilibrium that we've reached over a long period of time, and it's best not to meddle with it too much.
But Wisconsin Republican Ron Johnson, also on CNN, said the House hasn't cut spending nearly enough.
I think we have enough to stop the process until the president gets serious about spending reduction and reducing the deficit.
It's estimated this bill will add trillions to the national debt. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
The Pacific Coast Highway in the Malibu area has reopened following massive wildfires in and around Los Angeles.
We were super excited to hear that the PCH is back open. We used to come here every weekend.
The wildfires in January burned for weeks, causing billions of dollars in damage. Repairs are still being made. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hi, this is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Join us each Monday morning at the top of the 10 o'clock hour for tips, tricks, and a whole lot of fun. The Kitchen's Open, only on WFHR.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. A group of Pierce County residents is pushing back against the expansion of Ridge Breeze Dairy. It would quadruple in size. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Local business owner Larry Brenner says his home, land, and business is about a mile below the hill the dairy sits on. He says that makes him and tributaries like the Rush River that runs next to his property especially vulnerable to things like manure runoff and accidents.
That river is where my grandpa's land flowed through. So the fact that I now have a piece of that river flowing through my property, it's very special. And boy, it's threatened.
Brenner says the expansion could result in almost 80 million gallons of untreated manure annually, potentially affecting water sources and causing increased odor issues and noise from hundreds of manure trucks. Janelle Ludwig Kraus with Grassroots Organizing Western Wisconsin lives about 20 minutes from Ridge Breeze. Kraus's mother has terminal cancer, and she lost her brother to depression 8 years ago. She said when she learned that these conditions could be caused by exposure to carcinogens like those used to treat manure, she was horrified.
Manure contains large amounts of nitrogen, which is a probable carcinogen. The odors that come from the manure can increase anxiety and depression, and this really hit me close to home.
Grow Wisconsin says they expect the expansion will be paused until the contested case hearing is resolved. In the meantime, they will continue to work with local communities to get more operations ordinances passed to help better regulate the agribusiness. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, clear skies and low 40s. Mostly sunny with a high near 70 on your Memorial Day Monday. Monday night, mostly cloudy, 46. Slight chance of rain on Tuesday. We'll see a high near 66. And then rain is likely Tuesday night and Wednesday.
Currently 69 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Todd Alba will be here to break down all the news of the weekend. Kathy Giorgio, whose book has been banned in Waukesha, will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Clayfish, along with my sidekick, the lady who travels the state, sticks her hand under rocks, hoping to catch 42-pound catfish, yes. Which is crazy.
You know.
Swings from branches of trees.
Yes.
Trampolines into other countries.
Okay. I'm down for that.
Swims across the Amazon.
Well, ladies, alligator.
And gentlemen, Danielle Fairman. What's up, Dean?
Hot dog. That was, I have things to put on my to-do list now, I guess.
I'm not afraid you won't try any one of them. Of course.
Absolutely.
The fame acclaimed, worldwide, well-known French culinarian chef, Ellie Lawton, is with us.
I have a few things on my list now, too.
Yeah, let's go.
A few things to accomplish. Yeah, well, hey, listen. Food is that important to me. Okay?
It is. Mm-hmm. We all
it's
know
the best.
This.
And we know that at the end of the day, Raised in Wisco is a cooking show.
Yes. You did not let us say it.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
That was
what
weird.
Is Raised in Wisco at the end of the day?
a cooking show.
A cooking show.
You know
today.
Everybody in the vehicle has seen that too. It's
okay,
a thing
good.
Now.
Well,
it's a thing now.
I can appreciate that because food is my favorite dish. And I can't tell you, we're going to go a little off track today. We're going outside of the box. We're going off the walls because Ooh. I am so excited about our guest today. Our guest and I have been friends for more than 30 years.
I hate that you did the math.
Okay, my apologies.
Oh, it's painful.
Well, we
don't get day over 30.
We started out friends when she was 6 and yeah. I was 21 years old. This is a person.
Wait, what? Well,
all right.
Friends. And then after I did prison time.
Hey, I was trying to make the math
now?
Sound better.
What's happening?
This person, I'm going to give you some accolades of this. This person is an award-winning journalist. This person is one of the funniest people I know and one of the most influential in what the social culture of the state of Wisconsin. This person is so important. We're skipping Weekly Wiscos this week, guys.
Nice.
I'm not even joking about that. We're going to dedicate this show. And then you're going to wonder how the heck and why the heck she landed on Raised in Wisco this week. Annie Schwartz, award-winning journalist, novelist, chief cook and bottle washer of life, one of my dear friends for 3 decades, author of the book Monster, The True Story of the Jeffrey Dahmer Murders.
So excited.
Done.
And if you want to go take a look, please go on Facebook and watch us on Facebook Live because you can see her book right there and the wonderful author right next to us.
Yes. Not to mention the the heavily photoshopped picture on the back of the author.
Oh,
yeah, you met her.
I didn't get to see that.
Yeah, identical.
Right. I ate her. Don't worry.
There it is, an appropriate joke.
Wait,
for
did
the
you
dumb
say
girl.
That you hate her or ate her? Because I'm like, we're about to have a weird culinary experience here, so that fits right in.
Oh yes,
absolutely.
So you may wonder, how does Annie Schwartz, the person who broke the Jeffrey Dahmer story, literally broke the Jeffrey Dahmer story when it happened. And in fact, we're going to probably go through some old memories here because Annie Schwartz took me as an intern at WISN Channel 12 in Milwaukee to the Jeffrey Dahmer trial.
That's no, so right.
Cool. She did.
What?
Jeffrey Dahmer was 6 to 10 feet away from us.
Why am I just learning this about you?
About me?
Yeah.
Well,
oh, yeah. I feel like this is an awesome thing to tell.
A pretty fantastical life.
I can't talk
about all of it, but I am so excited. Annie Schwartz was a mentor to me, an idol to any real journalist in the time of true journalism.
Stop it some more.
Annie Schwartz, I am so, but what's fascinating to me is at this stage in her career, she has started to grow an interest in hunting and eating from the outdoors. And that's
absolutely
why that is the segue to why Annie Schwartz is here. But I'm going to use that to get her to talk all about Jeffrey Dahmer and crime and murder. And then we're going to talk about food.
It's not that big a leap, Joel. You think of it. It's not that big a leap. I was a crime reporter.
Yes.
And then I worked for the police department. And then, you know, I mean, it all makes sense. And then in later life, I said, now I want to kill something.
Yes. Oh,
and I
deserve it.
Right?
Killed it.
Yeah. My turn.
You do. You deserve it. And I also know you like to eat. You and I
more
have
than
always
life.
Loved to eat.
Yes.
I love that.
And
I was fat on TV before the women were saying, but I get to be fat on TV. So.
Well, I'll tell you what. I had plenty of that cake makeup on hand to dab my sweat when I was running around.
I hope you saved that. You can tuck point the chimney with that if you held on to it. Yeah, good stuff.
I have no idea. I have no doubt that is true.
We might touch on some construction tonight, too.
You never could be anything.
Anything.
Right? I love
anything that happens in Wisconsin, raised in Wisco.
Perfect.
Jacob, how are you in the fishbowl tonight?
Joel, I'm doing good here. Thank you for getting me involved in the program.
Are you kind of excited about tonight's topic and material?
I am excited. It's an exciting story. I just learned that you were only 8 feet away from Jeffrey Dahmer. Joel, you never told me that. Did he seem nice in person, or is he like he is on TV?
I think he seemed creepy, I thought.
See, but because you already had the information.
Yes,
the thing is that he was vanilla. He looked like everybody else.
He definitely did.
And that's why serial killers go as long as they do without getting caught, because they look like everybody else. If they look like Manson and they got the swastika carved in the head and they're like the crazy people eyes, it's like, oh, no, I don't think that, you know, she should maybe, you know, go over to his house. But Dahmer, it was like, what did I
would probably
say?
Go.
Like,
I
want to take some pictures.
You probably would.
You got a dog?
Well, he worked for Ambrosia Chocolate. You
hey,
know that.
If the person has a dog, Danielle's going in every time.
Oh, what kind of dog
Joel,
do you have?
Seen this. She
I've
just books it when she sees a dog.
I've been hunting with Danielle and watched her walk up to a ferocious dog.
Yes.
Thinking it's
asking
friendly.
If she can pet it.
I've only had one time where it was not friendly.
Okay.
A lot of serial killers, by the way, work with food.
Really?
They work in the food industry. There it is.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I believe that.
I'm going to move my chair a little further away from Chef Lawton after
that. Right? Agree.
Wait, I drove with her.
It's okay.
You have to not suspect her, because the deal is it's not ever the person you suspect. If you say that guy's crazy, you just know he's, you know, got bodies buried in the basement. It's not that guy.
It's never that guy.
It's guy.
We all know that guy.
It's the guy on the corner.
We all know that guy.
No, it's like Noah the producing god. He's quiet, unassuming.
He's just taking pictures. He's quiet. He kept to himself.
I just want to take your pictures.
Hey, that's just with the camera.
Well, Noah did just buy a new home.
That is true.
So what I'm hearing here is that if you do want to be a serial killer, you should like dress like a murderous clown, because then obviously it couldn't be you. People
No, that only worked for Gacy. That didn't work for everybody. But no, you don't get to want to be a serial killer. It just happens. You just, you know, it's just who you are. You don't study it.
So Annie Schwartz, author of the book Monster, the True Story of the Jeffrey Dahmer Murders, is our guest today. And was talking about the fact that she is growing an interest in hunting and eating game from the field to the table. But really that we've got her here, this is quite an exciting exclusive for the show. And I want to say, Annie and I have had very parallel lives. We've known each other not only 30 years ago, we were both reporters at Channel 12. Then we both worked in Wisconsin politics. I was on the elected side. She worked for the attorney general and a state senator. And then she worked for the Milwaukee Police Department for several years. And now we are both kind of a little step away from politics doing media. And she wrote the book Monster. And one of the things that I think people find so fascinating, the insight you have, is into the philosophical approach of people who tend to become serial killers. And you mentioned it a minute ago about how it's not the people you suspect, it's the ones you don't, and that's how they get away with it. How did Jeffrey Dahmer fit into that mold of having so few close calls, and even the close calls he had never pinned him to anything?
But you know what, Joel? I hear so many people talk about the close calls, right? Oh, the police were this close to catching him and they didn't. That's because we think about those stories because we know the information now. And the thing is,
everything, hindsight's always 20/20.
Absolutely. You can't expect a couple of cops that encountered Jeffrey Dahmer outside an apartment in 1991 to know that he's going to kill the guy that you're helping back up to the apartment. Yes. That's just, you can't go there. But Dahmer fit the mold you're talking about perfectly, because he blended. He wasn't the guy. He wasn't the weirdest guy in the room. And he wasn't the guy that everybody remembered. He was just kind of vanilla. I mean, I remember when I went to a lot of the gay bars following the revelations of Jeffrey Dahmer's apartment. Talk to the bartenders, talk to patrons, ask them, hey, you know, what do you remember about this guy? And they would remember that kind of good looking white guy named Jeff. But there, it wasn't like, oh, my God, he was the coolest, most interesting person in the room. They're not. They don't do anything to call attention to themselves. And I was, you know, I don't have an affinity for the genre of serial killer, but when I got into the book and then I interviewed all the experts, it just became fascinating to me. The FBI estimates that at any one time in this country, there are at least 50, that's 50, serial killers operating in this country.
What?
Oh. Yeah. They also say that in any given week, you walk past 14 murderers and don't even know it. I'm like, where does Zach? Who does that research?
And then stay on the corner. Excuse me, sir. Have you murdered anyone lately?
Yeah. Who's keeping those stats?
Well, then there is a statistic that everybody commits three felonies in their lifetime and they never even know it.
Well, I'm behind.
Oh, yeah.
Are you behind or ahead?
Well, I'm behind.
Joel, convictions?
I think that is something that is fascinating, because how the mind of a serial killer works is just fascinating to everybody, because it's something we don't understand. The average person doesn't understand. We've got Annie Schwartz, the author of Monster, the True Story of Jeffrey Dahmer Murders. We're still going to have our cooking segment with Chef Lawton. Danielle Fairman and I are hosting This is a Wild Out-of-the-Box edition of Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It's the
Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Senator Tammy Baldwin presses EPA head Lee Zeldin on Great Lakes funding at a hearing on Capitol Hill. The exchange came just 1 week after Clean Wisconsin, the Healing Our Waters Coalition, and Alliance for the Great Lakes met with Baldwin to stress the importance of fully funding the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. Zeldin ended up going on record saying the protections would be funded. Wisconsin's muskie season is here. Northern muskie season opens May 24th and runs through the end of the year. This is the 70th anniversary of the muskellunge being proclaimed our official state fish back in 1955. The biggest muskie ever caught was in 1949 near Hayward, weighing in at more than 69 pounds. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Raised in Wisco is your one-stop shop for everything about the great outdoors in the great state of Wisconsin. You can catch us on all Civic Media stations throughout the state, 21 of them. Saturdays at 11. But if you miss it live, there is still hope.
Danielle, there is hope.
Fairman, how is there hope?
There is hope for you. You just need to go to Spotify and search for Raised in Wisco. You can also search for Apple. But you get to see our beautiful faces and the lovely book if you go on to Facebook and give us a like.
Yes, we have. We're blowing the show up this week, and
I'm really excited.
I'm not scared of it. I'm perfectly fine with it. Danielle Fairman and I, your loyal hosts of Raised in Wisco, and our in-house culinary creator, Chef Ellie Lawton, is with us. And this week we've got an extraordinary guest, an exclusive with the author of Monster, the true story of the Jeffrey Dahmer murders, Annie Schwartz. Annie Schwartz is not only an award-winning journalist, but worked for the Milwaukee Police Department, worked for the Wisconsin Legislature, worked for the Attorney General's office. Her accolades go on, and so does her resume.
You
get a little bit of an inside sneak peek of Annie Schwartz's life because we have been friends since we worked together back in the Channel 12 days. She wrote the monster book, Monster.
Yes.
It's a monster. And I was telling folks, I had the honor and privilege as a 21-year-old intern to attend the Jeffrey Dahmer trial with Annie Schwartz. I was 21 years old, and Annie Schwartz was a, were you a Cub reporter at that time? What was it?
Oh, no, I was whatever it's called after you grow out of being the Cub, when you lose the cute stage. Cub was when I was still at the Milwaukee Journal
and
writing the book. After the book, it was television, and then I was a full-grown whatever it is when you eat your young.
You were still
I like that.
You had accomplished something that very, very few did. You broke the biggest story to honestly ever come out of the state of Wisconsin. I mean, we have Ed Gein. We've got the Packers. We've got the Brewers. But I don't think there is any story that has had the impact on the citizens of the state of Wisconsin like Jeffrey Dahmer has. And I want to know, if you don't mind sharing, how old were you at the time?
Oh, good gravy. Let's see. I think I was, when the story broke, I was 30.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Now I'm 130. But it was a crazy thing because I didn't go looking for it. I was the young reporter. I was a Cub reporter. I was a young reporter who was working like the crappiest shift in the newsroom. I was the Friday, Saturday, Sunday weekend cops reporter, 4 p.m. to midnight. Ooh. Which meant you had no life, had a problem. So I really wasn't doing that anyway. But I loved it. And I think that it's why, you know, you started the show out today by talking about how I've developed this interest in hunting lately. That's why you become a journalist, is because you're curious about everything.
Yes.
And when I first heard about the Dahmer story, I just wanted to know more. Mm. It really wasn't, it wasn't, you know, any kind of a purient, you know, interest. It was like, well, that's crazy. How does that happen? How do you grow up like that? Mm-hmm. What is that about?
And you actually had it there at your fingertips to go and investigate it.
Well,
because right now I'm 37 next month. I have no idea. If I had that kind of interest, I have no idea where I would go. Well, who's our Jeffrey Dahmer right now?
I was going to get to that.
There's the Gilgo Beach serial killer. There's the Gilgo Beach serial killer, the guy out in New York who was killing the prostitutes, calling them, having them come to his home and then killing them while his wife and daughter were out of the house. I mean, there is always a story like that. And what you always find out is there's that story of the hidden life, right? Mm-hmm. Now, at its most tame, it is, you know, Annie Schwartz, you know, law firm litigation communications expert by day, you know, huntress.
Weekend huntress.
I love that.
By weekend.
Very soon.
But I want to know. At that time, how on earth you ended up getting access and getting the information you did to really be the only show in town about Jeffrey Dahmer. I remember at that time, everybody tuning in to see what Annie Schwartz had on the Jeffrey Dahmer story, which as it broke was a massive scale, the size of Pompeii, you know, hurricane, volcano, every time you went on the air with new information. And how did you come about that at that time? How were you able to get that information and bring it to folks when everybody else kind of was standing on the fringes of that story?
It starts by being curious. I loved the police beat. I still think it's the best beat in the newsroom. I loved it. I loved cop shows when I was very, very young, and I was fascinated by it. And what I did is I would ask the cops when I was covering the beat, I would say, hey, can I come on a ride along with you? Mm-hmm. Can I go to where the SWAT team got together and say, show me the weapons. Show me what you're doing. Teach me what things are for.
And that's like a normal thing. You are allowed to go on there. What did it all intake?
Oh, absolutely. As a reporter back then, yes, that would never happen now. And then that only increased when I went to work there, when I went to work at the police department. Because there was always this curiosity. And
you
the cops
the
knew
questions.
That. Absolutely, Ellie. I asked all the questions and the cops loved that because what they saw wasn't just some reporter trying to get a story.
Right.
They saw somebody who had curiosity.
You develop relationships, and that is what it takes to be successful.
They don't do that anymore.
In every field, developing relationships is so much more important than the facts of the case. I always tell people, for an idea to become a law, it's 85% about relationships and 15% about the policy involved. And I think, Annie, you had the relationships that were founded in trust that allowed you to get at the information people wanted, and the police were okay with you sharing it, which was the most fascinating part, which leads me to ask you, what was the most surprising things that you saw or learned early on?
Oh, the entire case surprised me because I'm, you know, Annie Schwartz, who went to, you know, St. Mary's Elm Grove and then Divine Savior Holy Angels High School. So, you know, where they still continue to invite me to Career Day and then say, what are you going to talk about? I mean, what do you think I'm going to talk about? I'm sorry it was not Harry Potter. Oh, it was Jeffrey Dahmer. So
sorry, not sorry.
But, you know, one of the things that I thought was so curious was the fact that no matter what place in life people came from, no matter what their social status was, they would always say, when you brought up Dahmer, they would say, oh, that's disgusting. That's awful. Tell me more.
Yes. Yeah.
And then that was always it, no matter
pictures?
Who they were. Yeah. Well, and I have pictures on my phone, by the
Do
way.
You?
We can talk about
I know
that
what
later.
We're doing after.
That's really, that's a cocktail conversation, Danielle. That's not suitable for anything with the video. That's one of the things, Joel, that surprised me.
Yeah.
There are so many others.
I cannot wait to keep asking you about them because learning about the mind of a serial killer, which you are now probably more, no more than you ever cared to. Annie Schwartz, author of the book Monster, the true story of the Jeffrey Dahmer murders. I'm Joel Clayfish. Ellie Lawton is here. She's going to be our chef. Danielle Fairman's in the shotgun seat. We love having you on Raised in Wisco.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. A 28-year-old man with German and U.S. citizenship was taken into custody at New York's JFK Airport today for allegedly trying to firebomb the U.S. Embassy branch in Tel Aviv, Israel. Reporter Linda Gradstein from Jerusalem.
He was arrested after he spat on a security guard and tried to flee, leaving a backpack with Molotov cocktails.
A humanitarian crisis is growing in Gaza because of a lack of food. World Food Program Director Sadie McCain was interviewed on CBS's Face the Nation.
What I do know for a fact is that we need food to get into Gaza to avoid an utter catastrophe.
After the holiday weekend, the Senate will begin considering the spending bill that narrowly passed the House last week. Speaker Mike Johnson, also on Face the Nation.
I think arguably it's the most consequential legislation that Congress will pass in many generations, and it's a long time coming.
Johnson has urged GOP senators to make few changes to the bill. CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers leave PNC Park with a W. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, a back-and-forth game today at Pittsburgh's PNC Park. The Brewers on top with a 6-5 win over the Pirates. Trevor McGill with the save in the ninth inning, able to get the Pirates' Adam Frazier to ground out after Frazier had two singles, a double, and three runs batted in. So the Brewers split the four-game series, two games apiece with the Pirates. Tomorrow, the crew will be at home at American Family Field to open a three-game series against the Boston Red Sox. Game time on Memorial Day, 1:10, scheduled to throw out the first pitch, Packers quarterback Jordan Love. The Packers begin OTA practices on Tuesday. Racing, Indy 500 with its first ever winner from Spain with just 14 laps to go and low on fuel. Alex Palou passed Marcus Ericsson for the lead on turn two and took the checkered flag. The race start time delayed by wind and showers earlier today in Indianapolis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, clear skies and low 40s. Mostly sunny with a high near 70 on your Memorial Day Monday. Monday night, mostly cloudy, 46. Slight chance of rain on Tuesday. We'll see a high near 66. And then rain is likely Tuesday night and Wednesday.
It's 67 right now.
As a fellow veteran, we understand what it means to serve on a team. A suicide on a team is devastating and a real risk for veterans. If you or someone you know is struggling, reach out now. Reach out WIS.org for local resources available to you and your loved ones.
Paid for by Advancing a Healthier Wisconsin Endowment with support by the Medical College of Wisconsin, the War Memorial Center, and ReachOutWIS.org.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
In this month's edition of Masters of Mystery,
a forensic psychologist who turns real-life experiences investigating crimes into chilling novels, and a grandmother who writes about gangsters, will join host Rob Young. Tune in to WFHR Sunday at 9 p.m. as true crime writer Frank Weber and gangster writer Betty Brandt Pasek talk about their experiences and perhaps divulge the secrets behind their devious plots.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wisco Off the Rails Week. I think that's a good thing to call it, don't you?
Off the rails, I do.
My name's Joel Clayfish. We appreciate you having you along on Raised in Wisco. Our show airs on 21 Civic Media stations throughout the great state of Wisconsin. You can find us Saturdays at 11 o'clock, and if you miss it there, you can listen to the podcast after the show airs on all of your Civic Media sources, including Spotify. Danielle Fairman and I have been working together and hunting and fishing in the great outdoors of the state for nearly two decades. And woo! I love having you as a co-host, Danielle. You do a great job.
And I love having you as a friend. Look at me.
Oh,
I love watching you guys.
Should Ellie and I leave you guys alone?
Yeah, I mean, do you want to go get a drink or something?
Look at the pictures?
Yeah.
I got the photos.
Go get a mud wrap or something?
Hey, you simmer down over there because we're going to come to you for a recipe.
I'm so excited.
At the end of the day, what is Raised in Wisco?
A cooking show.
A cooking show. Chef Ellie Lawton, the award-winning French culinarian, the chefferie of Raised in Wisco, brings us fantastic recipes every week, helps you take forage and meat from the field to the table in a way that you can enjoy it easily. And we get to glom onto all her secrets and what she's learned in her classes and kitchens across the state and do it in our own kitchens. This week, I am so excited. Annie Schwartz is here. Annie and I were colleagues together all through our careers, really, in television news, in politics, in the state legislature, and in state politics. Now, she is the author of Monster, the true story of the Jeffrey Dahmer murders, the inspiration for television shows, the inspiration for movies. And no one had a closer look at the Jeffrey Dahmer investigations and trial than Annie Schwartz. I've said it. Annie was kind enough to take me along to the Jeffrey Dahmer trial. I sat 6 to 8 feet away from him next to Annie, and he did turn around and wink at us at one point.
I don't think he was winking at me, brother.
That was so smooth.
Ooh, I don't know if I should take that as a compliment or be creeped out.
So, Joel, when Annie asked you to go along, how did you, what was your initial reaction?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I would too, but
yeah, I was interning at Channel 12 the summer before my senior year in college. And I had a fairly halfway decent sense for a young kid of who got their stuff done in the way that I aspired to do it. So I watched Annie as she worked and understood how she developed relationships, and I wanted to learn that.
Yeah.
So anytime Annie was willing to drag me along to anything, I went along willingly and learned quite a bit. It wasn't until about a year and a half later that I was hired by Channel 12 as an actual reporter, and then got to work with her and see her in action every day, which helped me become a much better reporter.
Oh, yes.
Learning her style and her watching her develop relationships, which is what it's really about to be a successful journalist, is all about relationships.
I helped Joel with those important tips that, you know, just you need a mentor to tell you in TV. Like, if you want to look better, better. If you want to look thinner, stand as close to the recently departed as you can, because then you don't look as fat on TV. These are the helpful tips.
Those are the things.
You'll never look pale next to a dead guy.
You know, how is that not on a t-shirt?
Just seems like 101 right there.
But you know what, Joel, you were talking about, we're talking about the book, and the book originally came out right after the trial in 92, the first book. But then it was reissued 30 years later on the 30th anniversary, if we call it that. And I went back because I said to the publisher, I said, well, you know, it's not like there's been any progress in the case. The guy, you know, died about 16 months after he went to prison. And they said, we'd like you to go back and kind of do a where are they now? So that was really the fascinating part for me. When I went back, because I've had a minute to think about it. You asked me before about, you know, something that I didn't know or something that I found out while I was covering the case. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I found out was how it really affected or didn't affect at all people who were principals in the case. So 30 mm-hmm. years later, I went back to the detectives. I went back to Jeffrey Dahmer's father. I went back to the prosecutor, to his defense attorney. I went to people that the medical examiner, went back to people that worked on the case and said 30 years later. And we all kind of said the same thing, which was of all the weird stuff in like the world, you know, for you to become famous for. This is, you know, this is yes, it. It was just, it was crazy. So unlikely and so strange. And, you know, my poor father, oh, he felt like he wasted so much money on my education.
What?
Well, he didn't understand. He's like, you know, my God, I even sent you to finishing school, for God's sake. And you're right about the guy that ate the people. He's like, I don't understand. He really, poor Victor Schwartz died not understanding.
Oh,
I'm sure he died very proud.
Very proud.
Your career and the continuing of your career is fascinating. And I think people are so fascinated by what you say because you had a very unique look into the investigations when they were happening. When Jeffrey Dahmer was caught, I don't think there was this massive doubt whether he'd be convicted or whether we'd... I think at that time, and tell me if I'm wrong or tell me what I'm missing, it was then a matter of how many people did he kill? How many people did he affect and how he affected the families? When you took a look at that, and then when you revisited it 30 years ago for the reissuance of the book, that must have been, is that tough on a person's soul? When you're talking to these people who lost it all 30 years ago when they lost a loved one in such a senseless way, but such a methodical way, such a precalculated way, did that take a toll on you?
There must be this little black spot inside where my soul would be. But I just, you know, it has, to me, I don't know how to say this without sounding very dark and, you know,
Sound dark.
And stormy.
Do it.
But it was always a story to me. It was a fascinating story.
Sure.
But you have that objective thing, Joel. Remember going to people's homes, but remember getting sent to knock on someone's door right after they lost a child as a television news reporter.
Yes.
And it was like, hi, I'm from Channel 12. Can I get a photo of your, you know, recently deceased son? it was awful. I mean, it was, you know, talk about just an awful job, but we were not even thinking about how awful it was. It was the job. Mm-hmm. And I think that what happens is you become inured to some of that information over time. That can be dangerous. We don't want that to happen to us, right?
I think in many cases you have to. Because if
you'd cry every night.
You'd cry every night. And I think there are some who are in the media who do those type of stories who are incredibly affected by it mentally and emotionally. I think you have to be able to, and I think that happens in police who investigate crimes. I think it happens, you know, with the units that investigate crimes against children in the Attorney mm-hmm. General's office. If you were to actually absorb what you're learning on a daily basis in many of those professions, it would ruin you as a human being.
Absolutely.
Especially when
you talk about those ICAC units, Internet Crimes Against Children units, when I worked at the Attorney General's office at DOJ, there are guys that can stay in there but there is definitely a shelf life to how long you can do that work. It's important work. You're getting some really disgusting people off the street, but you have to, you know, you can only look at evidence so much before it consumes you.
The book is Monster, the true story of the Jeffrey Dahmer murders. Annie Schwartz, the writer of the book, the person who broke the Jeffrey Dahmer story. I want to ask you, what were some things you talked about? What can we learn in the book about how people changed from the original story to the follow-up story 30 years later? What were some things that surprised you, didn't surprise you, or that would surprise a reader?
What surprised me, and again, this is coming from my chair as somebody who spent over a decade working at the police department, and that is that people still refer to the incident with the young Laotian boy that was returned to Dahmer by the police as a police screw-up, and that is not accurate. And I have spent a lot of time talking about this case. And I am not I'm not an apologist for the police, but I just understand that in 1991, there's no cell phones. Well, we had the big brick in the newsroom that nobody ever remembered to charge.
I
remember bringing that thing out with me. That was
We stopped at payphones.
Yeah,
as early reporters, we stopped at.
Yeah,
payphones.
I'm lucky I still have an ear after some of these phones. But I'm trying to figure out the best way to, to say it, but I think that what surprised me the most is the fact that people still continue some old tropes, that this was a racially motivated crime. It was not. Jeffrey Dahmer killed the men he was attracted to. He was attracted to dark-skinned males. He was attracted to men that were really built up. That was what he was attracted to. He wasn't to say he was a racist is to miss the point of the story. And again, I'm not apologizing for him or defending him in any way. But I think that's something that has always been misunderstood, is that the idea that all of these men were being killed and nobody cared because they were gay or they were African American is not accurate. Who knew people were missing? So many of Jeffrey Dahmer's victims were living secret lives. Nobody knew anything about their lives. A lot of times when the police found their families and went to notify them of their loved one's death, they're like, no, my son wasn't gay. No way.
Sure.
So people were living. I mean, it was Milwaukee in the 80s, right?
Right.
So it's a different place. You can't use the standards and the things that we know present day to judge what happened back then. Because none of these things existed. So I always thought that was that always frustrated me. It continues to frustrate me when people say that the police were somehow at fault for not knowing that this guy was a serial killer. Because on the Sam Brown belt, you don't carry a magic eight ball. They could not see into the future that this guy was something they had never encountered before.
So with this book, A Monster, the True Story of Jeffrey Dahmer Murders, what can the listeners hear that's not in the story?
Oh boy. I left very little on the table. I want to bring it back to food for you, Ellie.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
I left very little, on the table. I pretty much told everything. There is some really dark humor that I share when we have beverages and, we're one-on-one or, when we're not doing a recording that will come back to haunt me if I ever become extraordinarily famous. I really did tell the whole story. And I think that for some people, it was a little more palatable. Again, I did that for you, Ellie.
Thank you.
To read it. Rather than when people tried to watch it on Netflix, for example, people were just like, oh my God, I couldn't even get through it. The book is something you can read a little bit of. Okay, now I got to put this down. This is disturbing. The book is also written in the first person. I wrote it, which I didn't really want to do. I was
a
journalist.
Oh, I think that's a great
insight
into what you were learning at the times you learned it and will really help folks feel mm-hmm. like they're a part of it and discovering it with you mm-hmm. in the book. And that's what's so fantastic. Monster is the book. It is the true story of the Jeffrey Dahmer murders. Annie Schwartz, award-winning journalist, author, all around great gal and a friend of mine, yes. I'm very proud to say. Raised in Wisco, you never know what's going to come at you. But we always, one thing you do know is we always talk about food. Chef Lawton is going to be bringing us this week's recipe. We're going to talk about that. And it might get dark because Annie Schwartz is going to stick around yeah. on Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you, too, can live and serve part-time, close to home, by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'll tell you what, if you have missed any minute of this Raised in Wisco, make sure you get on Spotify or look up Civic Media and listen to this edition of Raised in Wisco. I'm the host, Joel Clayfish. My co-host, Danielle Fairman, is along. And of course, Chef Ellie Lawton is here. But we have got Annie Schwartz, the author of Monster, the true story of the Jeffrey Dahmer murders. She and I have been friends for 3 decades. She's an award-winning journalist and published a fantastic chronicling of the Jeffrey Dahmer murders, which I think hits the curiosity bone of every American, but particularly of Wisconsinites. Mm-hmm. And one of the interests we share is the interests we bring to you every week, and that is culinary interests, because we love talking about cooking and eating here on Raised in Wisco.
Nice segue.
I did my best, Annie.
Could there really have been one?
Yes. And it still might be too soon to make a joke.
Oh, about it's forever.
About the segue.
Well, I was going to talk about cannibal sandwiches.
No. There it is.
Oh, yes, it do is. It. Perfect.
Oh, she does.
Minced meat pie. Just
here's kidding. The line. Chef Lawton just crossed.
Oh, yeah. I pushed her.
I'm really good at doing that.
Evidently.
Draw a line
are.
And I'll jump it every time.
Every time.
Well, one of the things that has brought Annie Schwartz and me together of late is her new interest in hunting and fishing in Wisconsin and eating what she catches and kills. We want to give a shout out to Sarah Engel, the founder of the group, the Women's Hunting and Sporting Association. Annie yes. Schwartz is going to be joining that.
Our newest member.
Right? They have no idea what's coming.
excited.
I am a member. By the way, I'm an ad hoc member of the group. You do not have to be a woman to
you
be a
not.
Member of the Women's
yep,
Hunting and
You blend. You yeah. blend. It's good.
I blend.
Yeah, you fit in.
I don't know why they keep calling me Karen in the group, but
ooh, they Jolene.
Danielle, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you're Jolene.
You're Jolene.
I'm Jolene.
You're
Jolene.
That's fine. Chef Lawton is along, and I want to know what we're going to be talking about this week as far as culinary delights.
We are going to be talking about a couple different things. We've been talking about foraging the last couple weeks because we are in the prime time. If you are a forager in Wisconsin, we are living large right now. There is so much out there to grab, take home, and put on your dinner table. So today, we're going to bring a little flowery goodness to the show and talk about our lovely flowers, the lilacs.
Edible flowers. You can eat lilacs?
Yeah.
I had no idea. Annie, did you know you could eat lilacs?
I was today years old, Joel.
Today years old.
Danielle, did you know that?
I had no idea.
Wow, I love the way they
smell.
I love
the same thing, so, and you can get just a really little
just a
bunch.
Little bit.
What were you thinking about dandelions with the last time
well,
you talked
we
about it?
Well, we did dandelions
yeah,
a couple
we did.
Weeks
we
ago,
ate
which are
a couple
delicious.
Weeks ago. They were delicious.
The lilacs, really simple recipe. This is going to be a beverage, and you can turn it into an adult beverage, a kid beverage. Annie got really excited there for a second.
Beverage.
Can add whiskey to it and
you
drink
can,
it at a horse race.
You can do whatever you want to do with it. So, very basic. You're going to pick about 2 to 3 little sprigs of lilacs. You don't want the green part. You just want the flowers, okay? And we, for the most part, everyone knows what it smells like. You don't need a ton to get a fabulous lilac flavor into this lilac lemonade. So you're going to take a large pitcher of ice, basically. Put about 8 or 9 cups of water in it, 1 cup of sugar. You're going to juice 5 to 6 lemons in that pitcher, and then you're going to put in the lilac flowers. You can press them in between your hands a little bit before you throw them in to kind of release more of the fragrance, or you can just put them in, stir it, let it sit for a little bit, and you have a delicious beverage that's super easy to make.
I'm guessing that lilacs probably, I mean, it's. I'm starting to see more and more lavender being used in cooking. So I'm guessing it kind of comes
from
the same place,
so,
right?
I love lavender.
Yeah, Danielle and I both use a lot of lavender, and the lilac is just going to be a little bit more of an intense flavor. It's so good. And you can also add rosemary to it. Kind of bring a little herby, you know.
I'm picturing earthy. Tea right now.
Yeah,
I want to do some sun tea
you can do,
with this.
Lilac tea. I've also used lilacs in salad.
I need it right now.
To go with our lilac lemonade, we're going to talk about wild boar loin tonight, too.
Perfect.
And, yes, so this is also very simple. So, Annie, when you come over to my house next month, we're going to pull one out and make it, okay?
I am so excited. I went to college very briefly for a semester in Spain, and the guanciale there, which is the which is wild boar, is the best anywhere. And I've never, when they put that in a meat sauce, there is nothing like it.
It's so good.
Nothing
I
like
love it.
So, to keep in line with our foraging, I picked some rhubarb. So I made a cranberry rhubarb chutney to go on top of this pork loin that I'm going to talk about. Yeah. So this is a chutney is just a fancy word for a thicker, chunkier jam. All right. You can make it with fruit. You can make it with vegetables. It's great to put on top of meat, salads, all sorts of stuff, anything that you want to jam on, basically. So this is Joel, go ahead.
I'm
what
just
do you got?
Waiting. You're so excited. I think my mouth is hanging on the ground. And
are you drooling on your microphone?
I'm drooling a little bit. So I just want to keep going. Keep going.
So the chutney is very simple. You can use balsamic and red wine vinegar and some honey. Put it in your cast iron skillet. Always a fan of cast iron. With your rhubarb and some dried cranberries, you can rehydrate those. So when I say rehydrate, just put them in a bowl with hot water, let them sit for about 15, 20 minutes to get kind of juicy and good again. So then you're going to put that in your cast iron pan and you're going to add a little bit of water and let that reduce down until it kind of starts to not form a jam, but just soften and jive together. That's your chutney. Turn the burner off, pull out your pork loin, salt, pepper your pork loin, butter in your cast iron pan, sear the pork loin, and then you're going to throw that puppy into the oven for about 15, 20 minutes at 425.
Oh.
And then you're going to pull it out, put
can
that chutney over
hunting?
The top.
Danielle, we did go
hunting. Yeah,
Danielle,
go down.
Got a hog.
Like, I need to
Danielle
go get
shot
another one.
An actual Russian wild boar
I
in
did.
Florida.
Wow.
I did.
Danielle, we
trip.
Are so, we so need to be friends.
Wait, we're not
at home.
Well, we're more friendly. More friendly. More friendly.
Oh, hey, like, girl.
Hi.
Okay, but the last time she got a boar, she brought it home and she ate all of the meat within 2 weeks. So we were
not
all
even
pretty
2 weeks.
Bummed out about it.
I'm sorry. We're going to have to get, we got a Gator Dallas trip this year that we're going to go back and get some more hogs.
We're going to have some lilac lemonade and some pork loin.
And I want a chaperone. I want to come along as like a chaperone. And the storyteller. Every hunt,
you're
going to
have a gun in your hand.
Yeah.
You're going to have a gun in your hand and go hunting with us. I'm telling you, folks, if you listen to Raised in Wisco, you will be blown away every time
every
you
time.
Listen, because you never know what we're going to talk about today. The world famous author of Monster, the true story of the Jeffrey Dahmer murders, Annie Schwartz. We talked about great food at the end, like we always do. Danielle Fairman's next to me, Chef Ellie Lawton, Annie Schwartz. I'm Joel Clayfish. We'll see you next week on Raised in Wisco.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a very special Memorial Day episode. We talk to Jeremy Lyon from the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs on our cemeteries, honoring our veterans and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. The Department of Justice says a man originally from Colorado was detained today at JFK Airport in New York, accused of trying to firebomb the U.S. Embassy branch in Tel Aviv last week. Reporter Linda Gradstein from Jerusalem.
Joseph Neumeier, a dual U.S.-German citizen, arrived in Israel in April. Last week, he went to the branch of the U.S. Embassy in Tel Aviv carrying a backpack. He approached a guard and spat on him. When the guard attempted to detain Neumeier, he fled the scene, but left his backpack containing several Molotov cocktails.
He's also accused of making threatening posts online, including against President Trump. The director of the UN World Food Program says more aid is badly needed in Gaza.
Cindy McCain says the situation is dire at best.
We have 500,000 people inside of Gaza that are extremely food insecure.